Credit unions have long been the backbone of community-based financial services, offering personalized banking experiences and a strong sense of trust. But in today's rapidly evolving digital world, they face growing challenges. There is rising consumer expectations, increasing competition from the fintechs, and the need to modernize their offerings while staying true to their core values. The question is, how can credit unions innovate to stay relevant and continue to deliver value to their members? Welcome to Fathom Foresight podcast, where we explore the future of financial services. I'm your host, Jeet Patti, the CEO and founder of Fathom Foresight. And today we are diving into the innovation in credit union space. Joining me today is Will Christodoulou, co-founder and CTO of Cider, which is a company that helps credit unions enhance member engagement through cutting-edge loyalty solutions. Welcome, Will, to Fathom Foresight's podcast. So great to have you here. And I was just talking about how you've become a credit union celebrity on social media. So would love to talk about all the amazing insights that you have on the credit union space, how it's evolving, where are we headed to? I feel you're so close to it, and the way you talk about it on in your social media posts, it really intrigued my interest. And also, we want to talk about your amazing fintech Cider, the journey that you're going through with building that product, and how some of the real life examples and how you are helping credit unions in North America get updated and transform into new experiences for their members. So welcome, and so great to have you here.
Well, thank you for having me. I think the term expert or something is generous. We have some amazing people that have kind of taught us these things and things that we've seen. I'm just happy to be a part of it. I'll take the compliment, but by no means am I the pro or anything. I just think that it's a space that deserves the light. So thank you for having me. I'm happy to talk about it in any way I can.
Yeah. And I think probably the audience will appreciate when I say you are an expert, when you share all the amazing, insights. And we were just talking about how you know about the history of credit unions and how the movement started, which is not, well known by many people.
Unfortunately, yeah.
Yeah. But before we do that, well, let's start with your background. And you've built amazing fintech, which famously has been in Shark Tank as well. You're part of Plug and Pay Incubator. So obviously, you're on this amazing journey on building this wonderful platform to help the credit union. So let's talk about how the journey began. What's your background? Begin from there.
Yeah, sure. So it's been a heck of a journey. Like I wouldn't trade it for the world. The fact that where we are now is hard to believe the great things that we've gone through. Background myself, the boring cookie cutter resume stuff. I have a background in data engineering. I worked for Fraudalytics at a bank, healthcare tech company for a bit. Did a master's program in data science where I met my best friend and now my co-founder, Sukman. So yeah. It was one of those fantastic things where as a student, we would always banter back and forth about things and issues in the world and how we could fix them and things like that. And that continued through our professional careers. We then found kind of an issue, a problem that originally was again targeted towards the more financial institution space, allowing for financial institutions to better understand their customers and do marketing and do a stronger loyalty kind of play. We got our first check out of a incubator accelerator down in Berkeley, California, called the Skydeck Fund. So we were exposed as early founders to some of the best minds when it comes to this kind of fintech startup world. Had amazing other founders that we got to learn from, met some great venture teams and other tech founders, exited people. It kind of like molded our brains to better understand the startup world. That allowed us to kind of come back to Canada. And in that, we got more venture funding. And it's just been an amazing journey. Like we've been leveraging our past experiences working at banks. Sukman worked at Accenture and Deloitte, helping large organizations structure their AI and ML loyalty strategies. So it kind of just molded together this perfect instance of a company that started finding purpose and finding value and helping and give back to the credit unions. It's been an awesome journey, and what happened was when we kind of dove into the specific credit union space, and I'm sure we'll get into this more, we started actually becoming very passionate about it. We started seeing the value that credit unions bring. We started seeing all the things and the things that they're trying to give to their members. But then we also saw the opportunity of like how overlooked they've been for the past couple of years, and how we wanted to help that in with the products we have, and kind of just our voices on LinkedIn and stuff like that as well. But yeah, it's been an awesome journey, and we loved every second of it and still loving every second of it.
Wow, I love that. And I think we could see that passion that comes through the content that you post, because we could see that you're creating a bit of a movement of your own when it comes to making credit union world known. And this is something that as a newcomer to the country, not a lot of people are aware of credit unions. And not just newcomers, I believe even the new next generations, the newer generations, they might have some legacy from their parents if they were members of credit unions. But if they're not, then the next generation also, I think, needs that bit of education around these organizations. And also, I guess generally the ecosystem that we have in Canada, 95% of the assets are actually held by the banks. So, and we have a lot of fintechs who are doing a great job at marketing, a lot of challenger banks coming in the country, which is great. But we do have these amazing organizations which have legacy, and they have built this amazing, member base over the years in different provinces that they are operating. So, I think I want to take a sec, because you have really good grasp on this, to kind of for our audience lay the land, how did the credit union movement probably started? If we could just touch on that, and how did we come to where we are today, where we stand at close to 350 plus credit unions in Canada, over 4,000, I believe, in the
In
US.
the US, yeah, around that number.
So.
There's a lot to I'll kind of say there. So the thing is with the credit union space, it's like it is the best kept secret, I think, when it comes to financial institutions in both countries, the United States and Canada, because unfortunately, people our age or people that are new to Canada have no clue about them. We're kind of blinded, or at least given this marketing dollars veil that there are only four, five options, and that we can't go anywhere else and we can't expect other services. So, it was new Canadians or as younger people, we always think that it's just the big banks. But when you kind of go down into the values, and this is why I think that they're the best kept secret of the credit union, they speak to new Canadians and they speak to younger Canadians and Americans as well, because the values of the credit union are altruistic banking is the best way to say it. Their values come from giving back to their community. Their values come from thinking of you, the environment, the people around them first. Their thoughts are, how can I give back directly to my member? Is exactly what young Canadians and new immigrants are wanting. They want community, and they want to feel like what they're doing with their day-to-day banking or their investments or whatever they do makes an impact in their day-to-day lives. That's a value prop that speaks to everyone, but unfortunately, because of either the size or the larger marketing dollars or just that bigger impact and footprint of the Canadian banks and the big banks, it's not known to people. That 95% banking with the big five, it's because people think there's nowhere else to go. There's, as you just said, there's over 300 options in Canada of local things you can choose, and also bigger credit unions like Meridian or VanCity or Desjardins that have the same, again, member first, community first values, returning the value back to the member, lower interest rates, free checking accounts, all these great options that people just don't know. And the thing is, and to kind of go into your kind of concept of the story of these credit unions, is they're this amazing thing that's relatively new. Like I wrote a post about it, kind of did a little bit of research, talked to some industry experts and actually CEOs of credit unions in Canada, getting this information. And it's crazy because like the first credit union was founded, I think it was like in the 1860s. So that sounds old, but relative to banking, banking's like 1400s or something like that. And it came in through the movement of kind of like the worker first movement. The individual has the right to controlling their assets. The individual should be able to dictate where that money goes, what's it invested into. And that was the movement that people were going for. I believe a gentleman in England was one of the first to do it. And then the big impact and kind of like the proud moment here in North America is that Desjardins was one of the was the first credit union that actually opened in Canada out of a group of guys out of, that just wanted to kind of control their assets, invest in their own communities, dictate their interest rates and loans and things like that, so
Right.
that they weren't just giving money to the big banks and like the big institutions that were maybe not willing to loan to the everyday man or woman. They was able to actually get that money circulated and into the economies that benefited smaller communities and the immediate communities, versus back in the day where it was only the big banks that would say, you know what, I can't give this steel worker a loan or something like that because they don't have enough capital or I don't have
Yeah.
enough trust with them.
The idea was actually financial inclusion even at that point, and making that, you know, community impact. But also, just for our audience, you know, the main difference is that when you bank with a credit union, you are not just a customer, you are a member and
Member.
owner of the credit, a shareholder in a way, right, of a credit union. So how does that make a difference in the experience?
Yeah, and I had a really good question come from a friend of mine that was actually, so one of my goals when I kind of make these posts is to get somewhat poor people our age kind of like to come on over and experience this world a little more. And so I did. I moved a lot of my personal funds into a credit union to kind of see what the difference in experience was. And it's interesting because there's one, the financial side, free checking accounts, better rates, stronger rates, in immediate like kind of opportunity to understand your financial advisor, things like that. But also there's like the direct impact of like the profits of that organization go into your community. So with like the big movement, for example, of shopping local per se, the value of having your credit union directly investing in your local community, a recreation center or like a local business or something like that shows the value of like putting, keeping that money within your direct periphery. And then also it's the interesting thing is when I moved my cash over to this credit union, the CEO reached out to me and said, thank you for joining us. I got a personal message from their CEO and CMO saying that, just because that's the type of people they are. They're good. They're business owners. They're local ma and pa kind of vibe with these value back to the community kind of people. And that kind of spoke really well to me. Like that's something that you wouldn't get at your big bank.
Right.
And it's just a great, the experience is very strong.
No, for sure. And that's actually a great story, you know, to be reached out by the CEO himself. That's pretty amazing. And so you were telling us the history. I just want to go back to it. So from the movement that Desjardins created in Canada, how did we come to today's landscape? So I know we've had some consolidation on the way. So there were way more credit unions a few years ago. A lot of mergers being announced every year, which I think is good in some way, because as these organizations consolidate, they become bigger and they have more competitive edge and resources to upgrade their systems, offer better, you know, technological and otherwise experiences to their members. But tell us that journey. How did we transcend from that kind of history to where we are today?
Yeah. So again, this comes from entirely from very experienced people that I've spoken to across the landscape, CEOs, C-suites, board members, people that have been credit union members for 20 or 30 years, kind of like trying to understand what went, what changed, I guess, per se. And what originally happened was the value of these credit unions is for the direct community, right? Like it's like if I was part of a small community in Northern Quebec in 1905, being able to get access to funds was very difficult. So spinning up credit unions to allow for access to finance electrification of banking or digitization of banking was a massive value add for those communities. And so when that happened, this pooling of wealth would happen in these rural communities with these small credit unions, which allowed them to kind of, again, get access to funds, build the communities, their farming, their et cetera. But as we moved into the more digital age, the age of being able to, like, one, the expansion of the branches into the smaller communities from the big banks was one. But then
right.
too, when everything became digital, there was this massive swift change where now someone in Penetanguishene, like in Northern Ontario, which isn't really Northern Ontario, let's go Sudbury or something like that, more north than Sudbury, could now get access to a financial advisor, access to funds, all those things immediately. So that then made the credit union convenience factor no longer the main value prop of the credit union. So the big banks who had the bigger money and the ability to kind of process these things, they started coming in on that territory and taking away, I guess, their members from that to be able to kind of just do the day-to-day banking. And this can kind of lead into what we're kind of probably going to talk about in a sec, where it's like the change that is actually happening in the credit union space to kind of catch up to that is happening now.
Yeah, I see. And when you say with, you know, technology, instead of bringing it closer, it just lost its charm, right? The community aspect of it. So what are the pain points and, you know, challenges that now the credit unions are facing with you know, ecosystem like that?
Yeah, so just from what I've been seeing, one of the big things has been the concept of like catching up with building up their tech, being able to be a very seamless experience on their online banking. One of the big values of the credit union is when you would go in, the branch manager or someone there would know you by name, know your story, be able to service you very conveniently. And that did stick for when the old, like with the current, like the now current and older generation that still goes into the bank and expects those values. But as the newer Canadians or younger generation comes in, they expect all their banking to be like an app, right? Yeah. They expect it to be like a well, simple kind of experience. And now credit unions are moving into that, but right now they're doing a little bit of catch up. Like there are some credit unions that I can think of that have fantastic user experiences and online banking experiences, and a lot of the smaller ones that are still they don't maybe have the funds to do it or don't have the people. They're doing their day to day operations and then trying to do backlog stuff that's just too much for them to handle on their own. So that's why they start reaching out to the fintechs and stuff like that, which is where a lot of opportunity is for fintechs and. It's not only an opportunity, but it's just a great way to kind of benefit both groups.
To collaborate and grow together. And what about the centrals, the credit union centrals? Where did they enter the ecosystem, and what's the state of that partnership? How centrals are working with the credit unions now?
Yeah, so the centrals are amazing. They were massively value adds, and they were like the days where they helped these smaller credit unions get the stuff that they wouldn't be experts in, predominantly technology. There's Central One, there's League Data out east, there was Solero before they merged with CGI, right? There's also Centrals down in the United States. I think they're called Leagues down there, actually. But yeah, so and Atlantic Central, they were massive value adds because, again, these credit unions, the smaller ones, they do day-to-day banking and then everything else to kind of catch up with the digital age, they had to give to another group. What has happened, I think, in the past couple of years is that the backlog of that those requirements is so large, there's so much happening that even for the centrals it's become difficult. Like there's some amazing people that have provided amazing products at these centrals, but even they are now going to fintechs to kind of grow their portfolio and allow for them to be able to service these techs asks. So that's kind of the churn that are happening with them.
And I believe like the sheer amount of fintech activity, you know, we've had a lot of new entrants in the country, both homegrown and also coming from south of the border or from east side. And same for the US, they have fintechs than us. And it's not easy, like even for the bigger organizations, even for the bigger banks to keep track of what all changes and, you know, trends are coming up, both with the technology, but also the customer experience that some of these fintechs are bringing in. It's really tough to, you know, keep a tab on that. So I don't blame the centrals for that. And so for credit unions as well, because considering that they're smaller organizations, obviously some of them might not have a team which is focused on innovation or which is focused on bringing in fintech partners. So that brings me to my next question, actually. How is CIDR helping credit unions, and where is... you know, in the entire value chain, where are you starting to add value, and what does that bringing in to the credit union members? What are the values that you know, they've gained? And some, if you could add in some real life examples, that would be great too, because we might have some credit union leaders listening into this. And it just provides a case study, you know, of how their peers are doing it and what could be a road forward for them as well.
For sure. Yeah. And there's so much to say there. Like the credit union space is, I'll get into CIDR in a second, but is doing a lot to actually start becoming more innovative. I believe Kinexys, they launched like a VC firm, for example,
Yes.
to get exposed to just the idea, like the mentality of startup for the credit union alone. They don't have to obviously do partners, but just to talk to startups or fintechs and like learn how fast innovative they are, because credit unions do have the benefit of not being overly clunky. So they can be fast. They can be like a startup. So the opportunity is there. So that's a really big one. And then by being with like Cider's value prop, essentially, is we're a loyalty platform for credit unions. So we are, one of the way that we do things is we actually provide value of like it, describing what a loyalty program would look like at a credit union. We go in and we do ROI analysis, use case understanding, technical understanding, all these things in a blitz, essentially, in startup speed, to provide the credit union with the opportunity to understand if they can pursue a loyalty program. And the thing that there's Cider, but the thing that's the value of just chatting or working with startups that a lot of the big banks are actually doing, they have innovation groups or whatever, by just talking to startups, is that the credit unions are then able to kind of go, okay, this is how this operates. This is how I can build something quickly. This is how I can go through a product life cycle like a tech startup, to kind of service my members, my younger people that are expecting this type of service, which is just a massive value, which is a knowledge exchange that happens there. But then also by working with something like us, where we provide you strategic understanding of how to pursue a loyalty program, we then are like, okay, well, you can either build this and this is how it would look, or our platform can be plugged directly into your current banking and you are able to launch a loyalty program in a couple months. What happens there is, at least for us, we recognize that credit unions across North America don't have a loyalty program. And it's no longer you have a knife to a gunfight with the big banks that have a loyalty program. You're able to at least compete offering a loyalty program that you otherwise wouldn't have. And all the big banks are taking, getting members, acquiring members, upselling them with their loyalty programs. So, and the unfortunate side of this, just to speak specifically to credit unions, is they did this when they first started. Credit unions created what we like to say loyalty programs. They created patronage, a patronage program where they would give back funds of their profits or their value to their members for banking with them. Patronage was a loyalty program back. It is like the original loyalty program, but the big banks ran away with it. They took the loyalty program. They realized, oh wow, that's a really good idea. If we give people a couple bucks to stick around with us or buy a new product, they will use us instead of the credit unions.
And that's a pretty, I guess, great way of explaining, like you're providing an end-to-end loyalty as a service in a way, right?
Yes.
Can you drill a little bit down into the different aspects of the technology as well, Will? And maybe that's where you could bring in some examples from the clients you're working with. How does it exactly work? Obviously, there's a bit of advisory part in the beginning where you are, because we're talking about credit unions, some of them who are stuck with legacy systems, and it's tough to maybe integrate into your technology at some point, right? Mm-hmm. Or even getting through that hurdle or initial friction of change might be something that, you know, you're enabling as well. Talk us through a little bit about the journey and also the technical aspects of the platform as well. It's as a service, so it's white label. How does it integrate into the credit union systems? Shed some light on that.
Yeah, so essentially what the platform does is we basically have partnerships that allow us to directly integrate into all the core banking for the credit unions, specifically in Canada. And what it does is it allows for us to provide points for when members are doing any type of banking that you would expect or need them to reward them for. That's opening a checking account, savings account, a new loan, any type of banking-based behavior. We're able to reward them based off of a set of criteria that we've built out internally, or we work with the credit union to do, right, as well as the fact of we actually have a portion of benefiting and giving points for shopping local. So if the members decide to, for say, bank or shop at John's Flower Shop, and John's Flower Shop is a commercial banking partner of a credit union in a specific area, they would be given points for doing that type of behavior. It aligns with the credit union values to give members points for shopping local, and it benefits the commercial banking partner because they now have a platform for John's Coffee Shop to compete with Starbucks. So it's, again, this very credit union-based model of points and loyalty that speaks to the member and speaks to the credit union that we've been able to flesh out and do. We are doing integrations with all the, as I said, the core banking partners, all the some of the centrals, in order to allow this to be a seamless for the member as possible. The white label portion of this is so that Cider does has no ego. Cider just works in the background that allows for credit unions to spin up campaigns in less than 45 seconds to allow for all the different types of offerings to keep the members engaged. And then particularly some of the groups that we've talked to, again, the value, I can't understate the value of the strategy side of things for credit unions too. They've actually come back to us and said, wow, this is something that we're going to reuse the way we do our product life cycle. But one group, I'll say their name, Coastal Financial, they're an awesome credit union that we love down in Nova Scotia. They're only 7,000 members. We have larger ones, but this is a group that I like to highlight where they, of a great group of innovative people, want to try to launch a loyalty program, but to get to that decision was so much for them just because of timing. But because of the one we came in and helped them make that resourcing, they were able to come to a budget, a use case understanding, a launch date, all these things that made it much easier. And because of our tech's ability, they don't have to worry about building it or integrating it or anything like that. It just goes in and the people can run their credit union and the platform runs without much resources as well. The successes come through higher acquisition, lower churn, better ability to get to your members in time when they're thinking of doing a certain loan or something like that. And it's been fantastic.
So you're kind of building a blueprint of innovation for them through, like you have one use case at this point, but you are enabling a bigger movement for the organization that you work with. Because they have, for a few years now, haven't launched a drastically new service. Or have gone through that process of, you know, innovating through and through, end to end. And even, as you said, building a product roadmap, looking at how, you know, the phases of launch of it and rest that amazing work that goes into it. So kind of building a playbook for each organization wherever you work, so they can then replicate it for different services, and hopefully Cider can, you know, enable some of those as well. Talk about a little bit, you were talking about how this Shop Local is also integrated into it and how Cider is actually supporting indirectly though, in some the local big businesses. Can you talk about that a little bit?
For sure. And so there's two sides of this, I think, where one, there's now been a massive movement because of what's happening down south of supporting local, right? And what's interesting is that's always been the credit union value, is supporting local. And so the important thing when it comes to like when working with these credit unions is we wanted to ensure that it helped their local community, their commercial banking partners. So what we did is, as I kind of described earlier, is if a member shops at a local store, they're able to get points for that. And the benefit of that is it becomes a flywheel of, as the member gets benefits within their own town or their own community, they are then getting points for shopping at these different things. The commercial, the shop gets benefits by bringing in more members, but also it allows them, as I mentioned earlier, to compete with large programs that have a loyalty program. All these small businesses are looking for ways to get a loyalty play, and having a central group like a credit union that has thousands of members to directly market to and provide value to is massive. So having that flywheel, that syndicate be created is what we're doing. We're helping them do that.
And that is pretty amazing because you're creating some ripple effects into the community where that credit union is supporting. But also I think recently or in last couple of years, let's say, we've seen this model where of banking as a service, right? Which is also, I guess, impacting the credit union space in some ways. We do have few banks that have really dominated in being the issuer for the challenger banks. But we've seen few credit unions enter the space as well, and they are the issuers for credit cards or prepaid cards for some of the challenger banks. Is there any insight you want to shed on that? Like, because I want to talk, why I'm asking that is I want to talk about how, you know, the future of credit unions is going to look like, and this entire BaaS concept, because it is in some ways new and old in North America. Now we've had few challenger banks, but now the rate at which we are getting prepaid card providers or credit ad providers, not just for retail consumer. There's so many for small businesses now in Canada as well. It's definitely a trend that we can't ignore. And I'm sure that's going to impact credit union space more so in future. So I just want to, you know, like a bridge, create a bridge into the future and want to talk a little bit about that. How you think, you know, that is impacting the CU space or how it creates a hidden opportunity there.
Yeah, like there's massive opportunity. Again, it's the digitization. Like they're a couple of years back when it comes to like getting strong online banking platforms, and they're kind of getting there, most of the smaller ones. Like you can't ignore it. One of the things that is key is that when they're going through the development of like maybe enhancing or investing into more branches or something like that, like sticking to that older model, taking some of those funds and kind of looking at those big vast services like out there and kind of trying to see if there's value in replicating some of their online or mobile experiences, because kind of maybe looking at what would I spend money in the past on and realizing that there's massive growth opportunity in things like what Wealthsimple's done or EQ Bank has done with that type of thing, and say, hey, if that's where the growth is, I think Wealthsimple grew like 10% or something like that, insane member growth in 1 year. And it's like, okay, if that model is working, that means there's a massive opportunity that people are looking for when it comes to that. And what are they doing that we can replicate, right? Mm-hmm. So there's huge things that people should be looking at when it comes to that.
And I think it's also the opportunity where you can expand beyond your own brand, you know,
absolutely.
Revenue generation opportunity. And you can, how you're talking about probably the technology part and the digital part when it came in, it made the ease of walking into a branch less, you know,
appealing.
Obvious or less useful for the community. But maybe this is another way of looking at it, how technology could enable new revenue streams for credit unions as well. Some of the bigger banks, like EQ Bank specifically, we're talking about, though they have, they're building their own challenger bank, but they are sponsoring a lot of challenger banks as well. So this is part of a bigger strategy now in the country for some of the organizations. But from there, where, because you are watching the CU space so closely, and you've seen it, you've learned, and you're talking to the amazing leaders in the space, where are we headed towards from here? Because we've seen a lot of consolidation, I was talking about earlier, and there are a lot of fintechs. Some are competing, some are out there to help credit unions. And we have bigger banks still holding major assets. So what does the future look like for credit unions?
Yeah, so again, thank you. It's going from the people I've spoken to, the mergers are no secret. The smaller ones are starting to merge together in order to get scale, be able to have better purchasing power, be able to get access to larger demographics of people. That's a thing that's happening. And it's a good thing in one perspective, but I was talking to a gentleman that used to work with Interior Savings and joined Beam. And he was saying how one of the things that is important when these mergers happen is holding on to that original credit union value. And I do believe that too, because it's a distinguishing factor. These mergers, as they go through, ensuring that they still have that community focus and like thinking predominantly member first is very important, that some might, as they get too big, start losing focus on. A lot of them, again, the big ones are doing that. It's just as they get bigger and bigger, an important thing. The other side, as you said, again, I'm kind of going to reiterate a lot of the things you've said, because you're just as well versed in this. Like, you're incredibly intelligent and you know the space very well too. It's no secret that as the centrals start looking to maybe not do some things themselves and partner with credit fintechs, they have those conversations. They open the doors. They see, or maybe more open to piloting and trying things out, because that's how they can stay ahead of the big banks, or how they can be able to launch things more effectively. Obviously have your regular compliance and make sure you're being safe, but being open to conversations with startups, with fintechs, is massive. Looking at individuals in other industries, usually credit unions, in the future, a lot of the time it used to be a very in-house kind of credit union. People will go to different credit unions. Now what you're seeing, and I was just looking on LinkedIn, like a couple of people from banks, people from tech, people from other industries are coming in. That's a good sign, because it shows that people are like, oh, interesting. Credit unions are an altruistic banking model. I like this idea. And getting those other perspectives is massively important, because what got us from like the 50s to the 90s was super beneficial. But having other industry people, just like the banks did, just like the banks have, coming in to digitize and modernize them is pivotal.
Right.
It's super important.
So are we getting into a phase where this is next, revolution in the credit union space? Because a lot of them that have merged are making big announcements, and as you said, they're new, the newer generation, different kinds of professionals from different industries are showing interest again in the credit union space. Also, small businesses, we didn't talk a lot about that space, but small businesses are big on agenda for credit unions as well, I feel. Specifically, not every business is started on Shopify, right? And not all of them are global, not all of them are digital, not all of them have an online store. There's still a lot of big profitable businesses that are completely working in, or not completely, but in some way still offline businesses, right? Offline services heavy. And credit unions can provide great services to them and enable their digitization as well and take them along the journey of transformation too. So, do you think we are in that inflex point, a new revolution from the credit union movement?
I think we're getting or starting there. From what I've seen the past couple of years, I think so. There are they like the credit union space. They're encouraging younger employees and members to kind of speak forward, bring their ideas forward. Again, it's very startup feeling the credit union world, where younger people and experienced people are able to bring their new ideas to revolutionize it. I think that, as you said, yeah, the small businesses, they're looking for something other than their traditional bank, whether that is a Wealthsimple style thing, or again, hey, I work on Main Street in Salmon Arm, British Columbia, so I'm going to go bank with Saskew Credit Union or something like that. That is something that speaks to the local businesses to be able to say I'm banking local. It's one of those things where there is definitely a movement to push. It's just a matter of being able to kind of, I think, because there's so many voices in the room right now, so many credit unions, be able to move in one movement or one that speaks to that credit union, that region, right? Like to be able to get your young people in, get those people with the technology experience in, is going to be massive. And ensuring that those voices keep being kind of directing the credit unions for the next 20, 50 years,
Right.
it's because that's the next push, right? AI is coming in, changing a bunch of stuff too.
Absolutely.
So you can only stay as relevant as you can until you got to get other people in that know that space to keep you relevant.
100%, and hopefully that start to see actual efficiencies, which will enable smaller FIs to innovate at a greater pace and make those big leaps. But another point related to small businesses, it's been on my mind recently a lot. I've been reading about this huge succession tsunami. I think that's how it's called by CFIB. In Canada, where there are lots of incumbent businesses which are still very profitable, are don't have a succession plan. They might have a next generation, but they don't know how to make that transfer, or they might not have any successor for the business, and it's a profitable business, but the owner wants to exit. So I feel like there's some opportunity there as well when it comes to tapping into the small business space for credit unions. A lot of these small businesses, they might not have access to the right kind of organization or financial advisor who would support them through the journey of this transition, which I think is another space, right, for credit
Big
unions.
time, big time.
Tap into, and then enable that next generation with tech-enabled experiences and keep them closer as credit union members. But that was so much fun talking about all this cool stuff with you, Will. I want to come back to Cider, and this is my fun question to ask. You have been in the market for close to 3 years now. As you said, you have 10 active clients that you're working with now, which is really amazing. What's been your aha moment in the journey of building the product, which kind of changed the way you look at the market, the way you look at how the business is going to grow, and what's been that moment for you?
I think what it was is, and I kind of said it earlier in a way, where credit unions created patronage and then the banks ran away with loyalty. When we went back and we started talking to a lot of credit unions when we were first developing the product, we were saying, so how is your patronage program doing? Are you paying it out? Why are you, what are you giving it to people? And when we chatted with them, they kept saying, we haven't paid it out in a couple of years. Members aren't redeeming that XYZ. We don't have the technology to enable it. It was one of those things where you kind of go, okay, well, the members are primed and expecting it and know about it. Loyalty is not a new idea to consumers. And this is an, again, I kind of use the analogy knife to a gunfight kind of situation where the banks are like Avion and all those big loyalty programs are behemoths and they're just machines. And the credit unions needed something to be able to compete. So we kind of sat there and we said, okay, well, clearly there's a need. We had technology that allowed to reward people for their information, their data, like their exchange of information. And so there was the opportunity. And again, the other side of why we doubled into the aha was the value of the credit union. I know it sounds cheesy, speaks to me and my co-founder. We truly do feel that the concept of member first, community first, that is a massive value add in this day and age, community first. And so we were sitting there saying, with our technology, with who we are, we want to be, as we talked about earlier, those tech guys that come in and help this market. Aha moment was a personal, oh, I really like this space, as well as a opportunity of a product that doesn't exist and that we wanted to provide to the credit unions in Canada and the US. So that was it. And we've been rolling with it since, and it's been awesome.
I can see the passion with which you speak about the space you are in, and I have no doubts this is going to succeed. And hopefully next time you have 10x clients and we are sitting on this podcast again, talking about all the amazing work you have done in that time. But what's next for Cider now? What's the next frontier?
The next is to continue to meet some of the more amazing credit union folks. We have a backlog of se several that we're chatting with that we're just kind of getting capacity to chat with as well. We're expanding into the United States now, starting this month, which is super exciting. So the growth of going across North America, and really ultimately what we want to do is just again give as many credit unions in Canada and the United States the opportunity to give a loyalty program that speaks to their unique values. And be competitive and keep doing the things they've been doing for over 100 years, to give back to the community, their members, in the best value we can, and we just want to be part of that journey.
Wonderful, that's great. So let's wrap it up with some last words from you. For all the credit unions leaders that are listening and tuned into this, what's your advice? What should they do to get started on their innovation journey and on the transformation journey?
I guess the beginning of this, as I kind of say, is they are experts in this industry. There's no doubt they've seen it all. They've gone through it. They know more than I ever could with their members, their community. They know that space so well. And that's knowledge that is a massive moat. It's a massive advantage to be able to walk down Main Street and know the local people and the people that you bank with and your members and treating them as equals. So that alone is a huge, in startup terms, like a moat, right? Like that's something that is it fantastic. And I encourage these leaders that they're already doing to continue to, and we've kind of talked about this a couple of times, talk to these startups, talk to these fintechs, talk to these insurtechs and all these other companies to be able to either have an exchange of information and knowledge, just so as leaders, you can take it back and think innovatively and as you already are and continuing to do so, but also be able to potentially accelerate your development and your product offering to your members. You guys are the best at being credit union CEOs, CMOs, C-suites, et cetera, directors, VPs. Let us be your data people. Let us be your insurtech people. Let us be your legal advisors, things like that, just to either help you or be a part of your journey and what you've been doing for all these years. That's my two cents.
Yeah, and talk to you, of course, and engage with Cider. So I really love that. Well, that's a great advice. And again, thank you so much for taking the time and sharing so much, such a wealth of knowledge about the space. If somebody's interested, how do they reach out to Cider?
Christodoulou, LinkedIn is a great way to reach out to me. Will@getcider.com is my email. I'm always happy to chat again, whether it's just an exchange of information to help you in any way I can, or anyone in any way I can. Those are probably the easiest two pathways.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Will.
Pleasure. No, thank you. This is awesome. I had fun. I hope that I provided some value to anyone listening. And I know all the great things that you've been up to. So hope that this provides value to you as well.
Oh, thank you so much. And as I said, hopefully next year when you have way more credit unions onboarded, we'll do this again.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Well, that was Will from Cider sharing some amazing insights on the credit union space in the North America. If you found this episode interesting and insightful and would like to know more about the financial innovation space or fintech space in Canada and US, please feel free to reach out to us at fathomforesight.com. We are a knowledge as a service platform specifically catering to the financial innovation space, and we'll be happy to help you with some of your market research or on the innovation and product strategy side of things. But with that, see you in the next episode. Take care.